You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Earlier this week, the Trump administration released a $4.4 trillion federal budget proposal.
In the budget, we took care of the military like it's never been taken care of before.
Even though it doesn't balance within the 10-year window, this budget still represents the second largest reduction in proposed spending of any budget ever.
Policies in the budget will drive down spending and grow the economy.
That was President Trump, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, and Budget Director Mick Mulvaney. You heard Mulvaney, a former member of Congress and known deficit hawk, admitting he would have voted against this plan because this proposed budget would add to the deficit and eventually the national debt. The GOP used to be pretty anti-deficit. This budget plan and the new tax law are not. Now, concerns about deficits and debt can be confusing. So let's break it down with this analogy. Picture a bathtub.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath.
If you think about the water in a tub as the national debt, water flowing into a tub can be thought of as the deficit. The amount of money that the government has to take out and borrowing each year because it's spending more than it's taking in.
And in a splish, splash, I jumped back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going?
That's David Primo, a senior affiliated scholar at George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And when it comes to the national debt, yeah, he's not so sure there's a party going on.
The concern that economists have is that at some point, if that water keeps flowing into the tub, the tub's going to overflow and you've got a mess on your hands, or in the case of the national debt, you've got a crisis on your hands.
Well, so this is really kind of the I guess we could say, multi-trillion dollar question. Do deficits matter if we, as the United States, really, unlike any other country in the world, have the ability to issue debt that the markets gobble up?
Right now, one could make the argument that that they don't matter, that, in fact, they might be a good thing. Right. We could argue that the tax cuts and the spending increases we're seeing in the latest budgets are going to sort of amplify the already positive trends we're seeing in the economy. But there's a flip side to that. At some point, our debt is going to get so large that it's going to drive up interest rates. Other countries, other individuals are going to stop being as interested in buying up our debt, especially if there's a concern that we may at some point not be able to pay it back. And that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the long run.
Well, yeah. I mean, because if you're a regular person, does this really impact you at all?
It can impact you in a couple of ways. If this increase in the deficit that is fueled by tax cuts and fueled by spending increases leads to an improvement in economic growth, that's actually a benefit for you in the short run.
Yeah.
Or if it leads to higher interest rates and you're a saver and all of a sudden you're getting more money for that savings in your bank account, that's a positive for you. The negative is that interest rates going up means that if you're a borrower, you're paying more. But it's the long run that we should be starting to think about now, but we're not. You should be concerned about the size of the national debt in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, and its effects on your ability to retire, on its effects on your ability to get health care, and so forth.
Well, so there's this sort of famous argument among economists that at some point, rising levels of debt could slow growth. And yet I wonder, like, is anybody out there saying, yeah, the United States just isn't a good bet fiscally? I mean, we're still the United States. We're still the elephant in the room.
And that's sort of the benefit of being the United States and also the risk of being the United States. So the benefit, as you just said, is right now we have the ability as a country, because we are the world reserve country, to perhaps take on more debt than other countries can. American debt, by comparison, is very, very safe. And as a result, there's still a lot of demand for our debt.
And the interest rates are low.
And interest rates are low right now. But a lot of this debt that's being issued is short-term debt. What happens when that debt has to be reissued and interest rates that other countries and individuals will demand to buy up that debt goes up? All of a sudden, right, the fiscal picture gets gloomier. And, you know, there isn't an announcement that's made, oh, tomorrow the rest of the world is going to stop buying up U.S. debt. It can happen very suddenly.
How do we know?
How do we know when we're going to get to the crisis?
Yeah.
That's the risky part, what economists like to call a creeping risk. Today it's not going to affect us. Tomorrow it's not going to affect us. But it builds up over time, and eventually you end up in a crisis situation. If our national debt doubles again, as it's predicted to do as a share of the economy in the next 30 years. For the average American, it's going to have an effect on the ability for the federal government to undertake the activities that Americans think are important. So there's a lot of talk about how Republicans want to, you know, eviscerate entitlements.
And when you say that, we mean Medicare and Social Security.
Yes. If some action isn't taken now to shore up Medicare, to shore up Social Security, those programs are going to be in far more jeopardy in 10, 20 years than they are today.
So if you're a voter and you're listening to this and either you say, yay, tax cuts are going to stimulate the economy, or wait a minute, I want Medicare to be around when I retire, what do you do?
I like to make the analogy or the connection to retirement. You know, if your time horizon is that I plan to retire in 20 years, 30 years, it's easy to not think about it. It's easy to not worry about it. But the earlier you start dealing with it, the better off you are. So if you're the average member of the public, one thing you could think about is, well, if it's as it seems likely, we're not going to see immediate action on dealing with the debt and deficit problems we face as a country. What is that going to mean for my financial situation in 20 years? And that has to be factored into things like retirement planning and savings. The challenge that we all face as human beings is we don't like to think that far into the future. It's very hard for us to do. That's why so many of us don't save enough for retirement, for the same reason that you should eat healthy today so that you don't get heart disease in 20 years, we should start thinking about the federal debt today.
The administration and Congress just passed and then signed into law a pretty large deficit finance tax cut. Does that add to the situation?
I wouldn't argue that the tax cut is the cause of our debt and deficit problems, but it is sort of additional water in that tub, if you will. It's just adding to an already existing problem. The challenge that we face politically is that if you are a politician today and you say, you know, we do have a debt and deficit problem, and as more and more individuals retire, need Medicare, need Social Security, we need to do something to make those programs sustainable over the long run. That is a politically dicey proposition. Elected officials, above all else, want to be reelected. And it's very difficult when you face a public that is much more likely to punish you for what are perceived to be cuts in entitlements than they are to reward you for saying that you're going to reduce the national debt and prevent a crisis 20 years down the road. And that's the challenge, is that that politicians and to some extent voters are short-run focused, but our problem is a long-run problem.
David Primo from George Mason's Mercatus Center and the University of Rochester, thank you so much.
Thank you.